Yes, ma'am.
Where's this parking order?
Hello, where are you sawing this?
You know where it is? We'll come back in September.
It's getting here, it's like,
it's not a packet.
I don't care, you got it before. You've had it a number of times.
Where's it now?
I've asked the people that brought this ordinance up to come to the next business development meeting. Explain how they got to it. How they got brought up some of these ideas.
About another 2 months, I'll be out of the box.
I'll have to see if I can't speed that up a little bit.
Or breakdowns and then where it happens.
I have no information. You're asking to vote on something that you want to make.
It's been through the Board of Adjustments has approved it. The Planning and Zoning has approved it.
She forgot it.
Public Safety approved it.
I didn't get one of those addresses till today, so I thought you might as well sign.
She got it.
Usually, why do we go past the Board of Adjustments?
Well, it needs to go to the business. Because we need to know the parking thing.
Board of Adjustments is usually going to be. August 18th, Smyrna Town Council public hearing is now called to order. Public hearing tonight is to address the application to rezone property on East North Street, tax map number DC-17-010.13-01-63.00-000, from residential 2 to industrial and institutional and recreational.
No, you can do them together. They're basically part of the same application.
Second property is rezoning of Northeast Street, tax map number DC-17-010.13-01-58.00-000. Also requests rezoning from residential 2 to institutional recreational.
Madam Mayor, these two properties are, one is a parcel owned by the American Legion where their facility exists. The other is owned by the American Legion with some involvement of Asbury Church. It's the area that was found to be an African-American cemetery. It's the grass area behind the American Legion. These two properties have been, for whatever reason, zoned residential for quite some time. They are properly institutional and recreational, and that's what they're shown on the comp plan. And the request is initiated by the town of Smyrna to make them consistent with the comp plan. And you do have in your file the minutes of the planning and zoning meeting on these parcels.
It was recommended by planning.
Recommended by planning and zoning and by the staff as being consistent with the comprehensive plan.
Okay, is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the rezoning? Is there anyone that would like to speak against the rezoning? Seeing no one stepping forward, public hearing will close at 7:17.
Yes.
I told Jean this afternoon I had a call from a lady named Andrea.
My.
You already signed it?
Yeah, my. I always sign everything when I come in.
This one spot?
Right next to the jeans that he's told.
Yeah, but I mean.
And you can't see him too.
Oh, then it's probably just me afterwards. Here comes Carol. She sees you.
I'm always.
Don't need to sign here.
No. All four of you need to sign here, and then Miss Valerie needs to sign on the back of those two pages. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Do it on the as we need basement. Place the door in about 6 months. Jesus Christ. They ain't just. They ain't just black. Who are you?
It should be on. Results of public hearing.
Is your mic on?
I talked to the Delaware Health and Human Services.
They'll vote on it. Okay, gotcha.
You have to be prepared to tell why you voted.
Okay, I'll just tell them it complies with the
comprehensive plan,
plan
recommendation of planning and zoning commission and staff. It's easy.
Yeah, I even wrote it down so I don't forget it.
Many years ago, when the council chamber was upstairs,
right.
Remember?
Yeah.
We had little 5x8 or 3x5 cards in all these drawers that listed things that you could choose from that were acceptable reasons to rezone. I think there's still one in Terry J. Works' drawer.
Well, that's good. I can remember this. Anything further now, I might have a problem.
You owe me fine.
I guess I did.
Brought him in.
You never know how public hearings are going to run.
Yeah.
What, because I didn't see where I'd send them to you, so anyhow, if you want to hand them out, they're just so they'll have. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Reverend Riley up on. Sure. Yeah. I mean, you could either do him. You could either do him under recognition to visitors, or you could do him. You know, or you could just make him the first item under new business. I don't know how long we'll be. We may not make a difference, but it's up to you. Sure, a trusty newspaper knows. Who bought the building on the corner? And what the auction on Saturday did? No idea. We haven't heard either. No idea. Yeah, I don't know whether the guy that had much interest or what. I was out of town, so I didn't even think about it until I saw it in the paper after the fact. You know, I was gonna that it was. Shucks.
It'll all come out in the wash.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Sooner or later. Be interesting to find out. There's a story lead for you, see?
Right.
Yeah.
Today I announced what they plan to do with these properties.
They're just being rezoned to make them consistent. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean the one is the cemetery. So that'll be, I guess there are plans underway to reconsecrate it or whatever you do to it. Put a marker up. There is the site of their actual building, which shouldn't be zoned residential, but for some.
Is it a church?
No, it's
the American Legion. Yeah, it's American. One's the American Legion, the other is the grassy area behind it that was turned out to be a cemetery.
That we found out the hard way.
Yeah. Which, by the way, those.
I've never done this before, but I sure do have a complaint. And I want to make sure I get the voice mic in front of me.
Please be sure to sign in, if you will.
Could you sign the sign-in sheet for me? And if you have a written statement, I'd like to have it.
Well, I kind of did some research, and this is my utility bill.
One may come down tomorrow,
no,
the other two any day. They got the asbestos results back. One of them, had asbestos. The other one, I believe, or something. common cleared. So I know one of them skipped. Taking down the mower, actually. I forget which one it was. But, okay. So this should be, yeah, this week I would expect.
Oh, it looks good. It's torn down. Nice looking lot.
A lot, I know, yeah. I need to.
You can speak for three minutes.
Yeah.
Does he actually want to talk under the ministerium? Can he do it then, or should he get up during?
I would. He can do it under the ministerium, but
God, you're the last thing on the agenda. Whichever.
I know.
It'll be an education.
Thank you for coming, John.
You're welcome.
So, you know, you could do it today, or just, you know, just kind of up in the this stuff.
Town Council meeting August 18th is now called to order. Please stand for Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Everybody got the mic for?
Justin.
Secretary. Are there any additions, deletions to the published agenda? Is there a motion to accept? I guess we're going home. Is there a motion to accept the agenda?
I got one thing, and it don't really matter, but I see on the old business this parking ordinance. Dave, at the Business Development Committee, we had asked to bring this back to September.
Right. It's just on there as a carryover. That's why the asterisk. It's
other than that,
just a report that the Business Development Committee still was working on it. And
I will make a motion to accept the agenda as is.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilman Evans.
Aye.
Councilman White.
Aye.
Councilman Presley.
Presley, aye.
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 Councilman Rainer.
Aye.
Motion accept passed. Do we have minutes?
Yeah. I'm say something.
No minutes. Okay, reports. The only thing I have, I'd like to thank Terry, Mr. J. Work, for sending us the FOIA information. It was nice to get something in writing. I haven't gotten all the way through it yet, but thank you. Bills and financial statements.
No, the current bank statement is in your packet. That's the only information.
Chief Baldwin?
Madam Mayor, you have a copy of my written report in your packet for this evening. We had our national night out on Tuesday evening, August 5th, here on the plaza. I think we had more people show up this year than we have in the past. I did want to express my appreciation to members of council that stopped by to say hi. Mayor, I know you were working that evening and couldn't be there, but I think virtually everybody else was there, and I appreciate that. We're working cooperatively with DelDOT to encourage the public with their Drive 25, and she's a live program. I was very impressed when I first heard that as a public service announcement on the radio. We're working with them. We're cooperating by trying to keep our officers in the various developments on residential streets from now until Labor Day. I will be reporting back to council and let you know how we made out. As far as, I think one of the things it's going to demonstrate to us is whether or not, how serious the speeding problem is within our residential areas. So it should be interesting. I also included a copy of our monthly stats for council. That's all I have.
Mr. Hogg, did you have anything?
My report is in your packet. I don't believe there's anything to add to it.
Mr. Jaywer?
Nothing to report, Mayor.
Committee reports?
Madam Mayor, I have two. The Utility Committee met on August 6th. The copy of the minutes are in your packets. The committee discussed the increase in the wholesale electric rate and also application and charges for online payments of utility bills that I believe will be coming up later on in the agenda. We're also looking at, the committee is looking at changes in account policies and procedures to be more consistent with not only with the online payment but also with delinquent accounts and things like that. And we'll have an update on for you probably in another month or so on that. The Finance Committee met on August 12th. The purpose of this meeting was to give a final review of the audit report that will be presented to council probably first meeting in September. No one had any major changes to the audit report. Also, the committee discussed the mid-year budget review. The budget is tracking for the audience. The budget is tracking at about 45% of estimated, which is very good. Our revenues are tracking about 48% of estimated. So for the six-month review, we're almost right on target as far as our approved budget.
Mr. Rader, Councilman Rader, did you have any?
The Madam Mayor, the Police Building Committee met on August 11th. I was not present due to an emergency, but Councilman Mullen filled in for me. The topic of discussion was another presentation by ICS representatives giving differences in construction cost, wood framing versus other types of framing. And the end result was there's not a significant difference in cost, so we'll continue to look at those figures and those engineering specs. The committee also discussed financing options for the cost of the building, and we're going to be exploring different financing options with different builders from the standpoint of being able to finance their own building. This is just a preliminary exploration into this concept, and we were interested in what they have to say as far as the design, build, and finance themselves. So we'll be meeting again next Monday, 25th, to discuss further options. The meeting lasted about an hour.
Madam Mayor, we had a business development meeting on August 7th, and we had discussed our parking ordinance, and we've had it be brought back to the September meeting because we have asked some of the people that brought that designed this ordinance to come to our meeting and tell us how they came up with these ideas. And the other thing is we've been working on our facade grant to get back to the historical houses downtown. And then on the 13th, we had a quick personnel meeting, discussed a couple of hirings to fulfill positions that were end up vacancy. And that's it. And then September the 4th at 8:30 in the morning, we have a business development meeting downstairs. And then September the 10th is another personnel meeting at 5 o'clock.
Councilmember White?
I have no reports.
Madam Mayor, on August the 7th, Park and Recreation had their volleyball game. And last Thursday, I had what you call a back to school, where I give notebooks, paper, and all that stuff out to kids, and it really went real well. Within 45 minutes of the stuff that we had and the donations that we got, we was out of supplies.
Did so the donations come from individuals or businesses?
No, they came from businesses, and then I bought some.
Okay. Chief Baldwin?
Sir?
Do you want to talk about the public safety, or do you want me to?
Minutes haven't been approved yet. Okay. So, what are we for
approval? Okay. The only thing I had is one part of public safety is we introduced the emergency operation plan that the town's been working on for over a year now. It's very close to being to the point that it can be printed and given out to the Public Safety Committee for review, and then it'll come to council and the town staff. So we're hoping definitely by the end of the year, hoping that it's in place. This portion of the meeting is open to visitors. We ask you to step to the microphone. It is recorded, so we ask you to give your name and your address, and you have 3 minutes to present your subject to council. Council is not required to answer tonight. We may refer it to a town staff or to a committee. We have a digital timer. When you come up, we'll start the 3 minutes. You can watch the 3 minutes and have an idea when you're close to having to wrap up. Would anyone like to step forward?
I am quite upset. I don't know if anyone's seen the WHYY interview, which actually didn't do justice to the reason.
Could you state your name and address, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Millie Roblero, and I live at 36 West Mount Vernon Street, Apartment 1, here in Smyrna.
Thank you.
I don't always pay my bill on time, which is true, but I do not accept. I don't expect or accept to be billed a disconnect fee if no one actually came to my home. Just because it was written up as a purchase order, to me, does not warrant being charged. When I came in to speak to the manager in the office, I got there just in time, as a few minutes before closing. And because we had discussed it so long, I was told he didn't have to take my payment. I've been an office manager for the past 12, 13 years, and I've never heard of any other business or any business that I have run that if someone came in before the office was actually closed, that I didn't have to wait on that customer. You know, for one, that's just one. I was told when we were discussing that they had actually done research, and they had researched these fees, and these fees are competitive all across the state. So I took it upon myself to do a little research, and I found that the city of Dover does not charge a disconnect fee. They send out a late fee or a late notice after the 21 days. It's in their electric service handbook, which can be viewed at www.cityofdover.com. It says that the customers are sent out a blue disconnect notice as long as they pay before the technician disconnects service. They pay only the late fee and no disconnect fee. I also contacted Chesapeake Utilities, who also follow pretty much the same action. They won't charge if they actually don't disconnect you. They even knock on your door, and if you pay the technician before he does the work to disconnect you, you are not disconnected. You are not charged that fee. Dispatcher number 5 at Delaware Electric Co-op, they send out a late notice, actually give a courtesy call, and there is no disconnect fee if you pay before someone actually comes out to do anything. You know, I also spoke to Tanya at Delmarva Power. A couple companies. I have them all listed here. Make copies for you if you want.
Would anyone else like to step forward?
My name is Debbie Krieger, and I live in Hartley, 4161 Arthursville Road in Hartley. And I'm here to speak to you about the North American Free Trade Agreement, which was debated and passed by Congress in 1993, which proposed the addition of 200,000 jobs, wage increases, and increased trade revenues. What happened after NAFTA was passed? Manufacturing started to leave the country. Millions of workers lost their jobs. Over a million jobs that would have been created were lost. Wages were pressured downward, and the overall trade deficit has risen by over $100 billion, as opposed to the revenue that was promised. Not only was NAFTA a mistake in an economic sense, but to make matters worse, NAFTA set up an international tribunal to oversee and rule upon trade issues. This tribunal is composed of unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats and is allowed to supersede state and local laws, the Congress of the United States, and the United States Supreme Court. Now an expansion of NAFTA, the North American Union, is in the works. In March 2005, President Bush committed our government to the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America without the approval or the oversight of Congress. The Council on Foreign Relations assigned a task force to make recommendations, and in the formal report, the central recommendation is establishment by 2010 of a North American economic and security community, the boundaries of which would be defined by a common external tariff and an outer security perimeter. On February 6, 2007, at American University, a conference was held on North American law. Robert Pastor, one of the architects of the North American Union, said, NAFTA can be considered a kind of draft constitution for an emerging region. Referring to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, he asks, are the three governments prepared to give up their sovereignty for a wider community? He also stated, sovereignty in brief is a misleading, if not mistaken, defense against an increasingly open and integrated world. Sovereignty is self-government. Sovereignty is freedom. What Mr. Pastor proposes is a regional government similar to the European Union, complete with a common monetary unit, the Amero, national ID cards, open borders, a shared legal system, law enforcement and intelligence agencies, regionally legislated educational, social, food, health, environmental dictates, and pharmaceutical testing in any one country that is good enough for all. Ladies and gentlemen, what this means is that most essential aspects of our lives will be ruled by the regional government of North America and not the United States government. Three states have passed resolutions asking Congress to stop the NAU. 16 more states are considering such resolutions. We're here tonight to ask for your signatures on this petition, which we will personally deliver to your state legislators, along with the information we've brought for you today, and model legislation to aid them in drafting legislation. Won't you proudly exert the power of the people in Delaware to stop the North American Union? And I'll leave this petition up here for everybody to sign.
Thank you. Thank you. Would anyone else like to
speak to the council?
Helen Miller, 45 West South Street. I'm glad Chief Baldwin brought up the problem about speeding on residential streets. South Street is an accident waiting to happen. The big sign saying 25 miles an hour does absolutely nothing. They just go faster. The thing we need is somebody to enforce the law. We sit on our porch and watch for our grandson to come home every afternoon on the DART bus and watch them start at School Lane and go faster and faster till they get to Main Street. After dinner, they not only get faster, they get louder. And there is nobody there to enforce the law. I will gladly park on the street and let them park in our driveway and watch these cars and do something about the speeding on South Street.
Would anyone else like to address council? No one step forward. We will close this portion of the meeting and open the regular council meeting. Excuse me. Under 8A, old business ordinance number 003-08, parking ordinance.
As we discussed earlier, the Business Development Committee had certain concerns about provisions in the ordinance, asked that it be scheduled again for their next meeting, and that representatives of the committee that had drafted some of the proposals come to the Business Development Committee. So it will be considered again by the Business Development Committee on September 4th. And hopefully those issues will be resolved. I think they had to do with size of parking spaces and a couple of other issues. I can't remember what they were offhand, but landscaping requirement and a few of those things. So
I'm going to say one thing. It was my ordinance. It's been over a year. I think this is outrageous, ridiculous. Questions should have been addressed long before this. It's been through, it's had the blessing of planning and zoning. It's had the blessing of Board of Adjustments. And the other night, through Public Safety Committee, it has the blessings of Public Safety Committee. My understanding was once something went to the Board of Adjustments, that was supposed to be final say there. I don't understand why it's going before Business Development and Public Safety afterwards. But I'll go along with it. One more. Tonight we're probably going to give an extension. Nothing against you, Mr. Markham. I hope you understand. It's principle. Three developments got through over the past year with the 1.5 parking places instead of the two with the overflow parking. Another one in town here just was passed, and probably tonight there'll be another one. That pretty much takes care of everything that can be built, I guess. I'm very disappointed. We have people that are literally fighting over parking spaces. The police station gets calls, and I've been notified by planning inspections in town that they get phone calls of people parking over parking spaces. Had one lady call me, has two small children, came home in a terrible storm, had to park two blocks away from her townhouse and walk with her children in a terrible storm. That's all I'll say.
Madam Mayor, I'll make a motion that we table this ordinance until the next council meeting and the business development has a chance to review it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Councilwoman White? Aye.
Councilman Presley? Presley, aye.
Aye.
Councilman Mullen?
Aye.
Councilman
Rayner?
Aye.
Councilman
Evans?
Aye.
Motion passes. 8B, approved signatures for bank accounts. Smyrna Police Department Building Fund. The signatures would be the mayor, the vice mayor, council secretary, town manager, any of the two of the four. Is there a motion?
This is
already?
Yes. The fondo has been approved. This is just for signatures on the bank account.
I'll make a motion. We accept the signatures listed below.
Is there a second?
I guess I'm going to second it.
Discussion? Roll call.
Councilman
Presley? Presley, aye.
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 No.
Councilman
Reiner?
Aye.
Councilman
Evans?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so the public knows what this was about. I was approached some time ago. I don't know if the offer is still good by now, but I had an investor that was willing to invest some money into the police building fund, but they wanted a separate account set up for the police building fund so that they would know that it was going for that purpose. So a couple months ago, we passed a resolution that there would be a police building fund for anyone. Like we said, a lot of people in town are in favor of this, and they can afford to make a donation. There's a lot of people in town that can't pay. So to tack this on to the taxes or to make an additional fee, I felt was not fair. And I would like to see what we can do, how much money we can raise. And, I mean, this won't be the only thing to build the police station, but I wanted to see if this investor is still interested and if we can get other people that are in support of this to donate for the police building fund. 8C, staff resource people for committees. I asked for this to be put on the agenda. Nowhere in the charter or any place that I've read does it state that there has to be a staff liaison on committees. It came up at the last meeting that the staff people have to stay. They get off at 4:30, and they stay until the meeting, and they're being paid overtime while they're waiting for the meeting to start and during the time of the meeting. At first, I felt that this was an unnecessary expense for the town, and that there's no place that it states that a town liaison has to be on a has to come to committee meetings. But after researching it, I've changed my mind because it comes out to approximately $540 a year. Each of the there's 21 committees, so that's 21 meetings. Most of the meetings go between an hour to 2 hours. If the person works to 4:30 and the meeting starts at 5:30, it means that they're getting paid approximately 2 hours overtime. So it came to $540, and I have found that a lot of the staff's input at the meetings has been very, very valuable. Some of the decisions that we've made at the committee meetings have actually been because of the information that has been given to the committee by the staff personnel. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that. 8D, set date, time for council workshop and retreat, September 17th from 6 to 8.
I'll make a motion to accept this workshop retreat for September the 17th at 6 o'clock.
Second.
Okay. So any discussion? Roll call.
Aye.
Councilman Thornton?
Aye.
Councilman Reiner?
Aye.
Councilman Evans?
Aye.
Aye.
Just a reminder, I'm surprised our esteemed counsel at the other end of the table hasn't jumped in here, but this will be a public meeting of the council. It will be held in the conference room downstairs. Much the same format as the one we did 6 months or a year ago, but it'll be open for the public to sit in and observe. Unless the council decides to actually take public comment, it will be strictly a meeting of the council facilitated by the Dover City Manager.
He's a glutton for punishment.
He is.
Okay. Don't care, does he?
He did an excellent job.
Yes,
he was
did.
Very good.
Listen to all of us.
8E, suggestion for audit committee. Again, I had that put on the agenda. We had some time ago talked about getting a consulting company to come in and evaluate our town employees and our positions to tell us if we have the right positions or if we need some other positions or switch things around a little bit. After doing a lot of research on that, we found out that the fee is pretty high. Mr. Hug came up, the only one that he really, well, he was working with the University of Delaware and then ICMA. Their fee was $50,000, which I don't know about the rest of the council, but I think that's a little bit high. The audit commission has offered their experienced people, qualified, and they've offered to do a study and let us know what their opinion is for free. So I'm thinking, since it's not going to cost us anything, that it might be good just to have an evaluation done and see what they come up with.
Madam Mayor, with all due respect to your audit committee, who are very qualified and competent accountants and auditors, they are not personnel experts. And I really question whether we're going to get anything of great value by asking a group of auditors or planners or municipal workers to do an evaluation in an area where they really don't have experience.
I've been informed at least one of them it did work in human resources.
They have. I don't know that. I'm just suggesting to you that sometimes you get what you pay for. I agree with you that $50,000 at this particular point is not something I think that's a high priority for the town, and neither ICMA or the university's proposals, as we've discussed them, are, you know, necessarily cheap or even maybe appropriate. But I really wonder out loud whether asking the audit committee to do a personnel review is in our best interest or not.
Well, as the personnel chairman, we had discussed this quite a few times, and Madam Mayor, it is one of the topics that will be at our workshop.
Okay. Madam Mayor, I'd also like to remind you that the audit committee is number one, is a subcommittee of the finance committee. Number two, that committee is charged with reviewing the annual audit and giving suggestions as far as the audit report. They are not charged with anything in this area at all. And being a subcommittee, which it is a committee, it's not a commission, I would say that it would probably have to go through the finance committee. I may be wrong, I don't know. For approval for a subcommittee of the finance committee to take on any further duties.
That's why I'm bringing it to council.
I would also, I don't see anything being done now, so I don't see where anything's going to hurt to have someone look at it. It isn't going to cost you anything. There's never been any cross training that I know of in town. There's or in the. And, you know, employment of our town. There's no time studies ever been done, so I think it's time to bring somebody in and knows what they're doing, and let's get things straightened out.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time with the numbers of the employees of this town and other towns, and I can tell you right now, this is a town of 10,000. We have a $24 million budget. We do what we do more than what Middletown does. We have about 68 employees, Dave. 68, 70, somewhere in there.
Excluding police, probably less than that. But
Middletown has about 130. We run our own utilities, and I quite frankly, I think our town staff does an excellent job, and I think we're getting more than our bang for a buck.
But where does this come in with an efficiency study? I mean, this is basically what we're looking at.
It's not saying that no one's not doing their job, Gene.
They are doing a good job.
It's a review to see if there's a way we can do better. That's what it is, just to see if there's some things that maybe, we're not saying anyone's doing anything wrong. We're not saying that they're not doing their job. I also will say, every person that I've been in contact with the town, I'm very impressed with our employees. I would back them to the fullest. I can't think of one person that I know of that doesn't more than do their job. And we're very, very lucky. Our electric department, our electric goes out. How long is our electric out? Maybe half hour at the most. Chief and I were talking about it one day, and he's in Odessa. He says his electric goes out, and he's out for hours. So we're very fortunate. We have a great crew, but I'm just looking to see if there's something we can do to be more efficient and make things better.
Well, Madam Mayor, why don't we make up a list of area of concerns that we may have a problem at, and either have Dave check them out or the personnel committee.
Well, Gene,
we don't have concerns, we just want to see if it can be done better. And
again, guys, this is something that is going to be brought up to our workshop, so I honestly don't think we should sit here in front of the audience and argue about it, but it is something that's going to be up in the workshop. That's been one of our things on the personnel chair committee to do at this workshop that we're having.
Okay. So if it's going to the workshop, then I will. What will I do? I'll withdraw it. Okay. 8G, recommendation of utility committee.
Madam Mayor, the utility committee was asked to look into the issue along with the staff of making online payments of various kinds available to our citizens. I think we've reported to you previously, certainly to the utility committee previously, the various options that are available. The town is prepared to extend the online payment option. The one sticking point is that there are service fees associated with that provision. The utility committee addressed that issue at its meeting on August the 6th, and you do have your minutes. I apologize, they weren't previously given to you. Made a recommendation that the any service fees be charged to the customer by the third-party service provider as an option for using the service. And we need council's approval to be able to go ahead and establish that as.
This is the only thing that is keeping us from going to the online payment. We have waited for quite a while. This was a sticking point, and
we need to get a motion in a second, and then we can go into discussion. Is there a motion?
I will make a motion that we accept the recommendation of the utility committee, accepting the customer shall be required to pay any service fees associated with any online payment options.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
The committee spent a lot of time on this, reviewing a lot of different payment plans, a lot of different entities such as Chase Bank and PNC Bank and some of the other institutions. And almost every single one of them had a service fee. And that, like I said, that service fee could be either paid by the town or paid by the customer. And the committee thought it best after several months of discussing this that the customer should be required to pay.
Any other discussion?
Councilman Thornton?
Aye.
Councilman Mullen?
Aye.
Councilman Rayner?
Aye.
Councilman Evans?
Aye.
Councilman
White? Aye.
Councilman Presley?
Presley, aye.
Aye. Motion passes. 8H, results of public hearing reference rezoning application 1 and 2 East North Street, tax map DC 17-010.13-01-63.00-000 from residential 2 to institutional and recreational, and also the second property tax map number DC 17-010.13-01-58.00-000, also from residential 2 to institutional and recreational.
Madam Mayor, just the address given for property 58, item 2 on the agenda, according to the planning and zoning minutes, is 107 West Glenwood. So to make us consistent, the first one is East North Street and the second one is West Glenwood. It's the two properties that we held the hearing on, but just to confirm them.
Okay, we had a public hearing. There was no one to speak in favor of or to speak against. Is there a motion? Are we awake tonight, guys?
To change the zone.
I'll make a motion that we change the zoning from R2 to institutional and recreational for both said properties.
Second.
Discussion.
Okay, is this just an in-house to take care of
this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this makes them consistent with the comprehensive plan and actually their use, particularly the cemetery property, which under the arrangement with Asbury and the Legion will be consecrated.
So basically we've made it so that nobody can dig up there again. Okay.
Aye.
Councilman Rayner.
Aye.
Councilman Evans.
Aye.
Councilman
Aye.
Councilman Presley.
Presley, aye.
Aye, because it meets the comprehensive plan.
Motion passes. Under 9.
Do we want to state our reasons?
Do we need to, Terry?
I'm not as. This is all consistent with the comprehensive plan, correct? And these are all annexations. These are not rezonings of existing property. I'm not as concerned.
It's just rezoning
of an existing parcel, then I think you should say it.
At the request of the town to bring them into consistency with the comp plans.
Okay, well, I think that's a sufficient reason on the record because the state statute requires that be done.
Okay, 9, new business. 9A, request for subdivision renewal, Greenbrier.
States. Madam Mayor, you have a letter from Janet Vince to Mayor and Council regarding Greenbrier Estates. Our current regulations provide that a subdivision plan needs to begin on within a year of the time that it's approved, or the plan needs to be approved within a time period from a year from when it's submitted. Mr. Markham, subdivision, like a number of projects in town, has gotten drawn out over time as a result of various reviews, some in-house, some by agencies outside the town office, most notably and most typically DelDOT, although there are often questions and comments from the Conservation District and or from the Fire Marshal. And not unfrequently from our own engineers if there are some unique characteristics of this property. Mr. Markham's subdivision application was received on January 17, 2007, which starts the one-year clock, and it would have expired in January 2008. As you can see by the list, there are a number of approvals pending, but there are certainly still some outstanding approvals that Mr. Markham needs to get. And by virtue of the economic situation, this project has not proceeded forward. It is feasible for the town to grant an extension of a year for someone to get their subdivision plans finally approved, and then they have a year to initiate the actual beginning of the construction. And Mr. Markham is here, and I think I've recounted the short history, but Ronnie, if that's not correct, if you would like to add anything further, please come on up. I do want to say that we've been working with Mr. Markham on this project for quite some time, and it is a complicated project because of the configuration of the lot and a number of concerns that were raised by neighbors that required how many redesigns, a half a dozen or so?
Seven, I think it was.
In order to satisfy those concerns. So the project did get drawn out for some period, and not because of Mr. Markham's inaction, right, but just a willingness and desire.
I've already been trying to get it through, but and a lot of time, but I'm not a firm believer on having retention ponds. And I tried to work with that soil conservation and get an underground system, something that looks a lot better, things like that. But obviously, when we go to other people other than the town of Smyrna, you know, the county and the state and so forth, you may submit something three or four times. You never know. You know, it may go the first time, it may be four times before you get it figured out. And I still had five more steps to go in November of this last year, and that wasn't even halfway through. So, and November was in two more months, it expired. So, you don't know what you're going to run into. And I have been proceeding on with it. But I want, like I say, I've been working with the people in the area, and I want a decent property there. And the agencies, they may get back to you in a week, and they may get back to you in 3 months or 4 months, you know, whatever they decide to get back to you. So, and I have no power over them, you know, so I have to be patient and wait for them also. Thank you very much tonight. That's what I'm asking for.
Their motion.
I will make a motion to extend the application's subdivision plan for 1 year.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Point clarification, that's 1 year from tonight.
Yes.
One question, Mr. Markham. How many parking places? How many parking spaces?
I don't know
yet. Won't know until it was designed.
I don't think parking is an issue there with the wide road.
No, I mean, are you planning 1.5 per unit or two? I just want to know. It's not going to change anything. I just want to know.
If I can get four per unit, that'd be great.
Thank you.
What about the maximize to get there?
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I don't want people parking in the middle of the road and having to go around each other.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, this brings up an interesting question because it does take so long to get some of the approvals through some of the different agencies. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Kent County and the City of Dover, I think their application time frame is 3 years, but I'm not sure. Is that something that we as a town might want to look at as far as time frame for the application?
Dean, to me, honestly, I would just let them come back every year, and I mean, as long as they're working for it, I would probably give them an extension, but at least every year I would know that they're still interested and I'm still interested. Because there is, like what Ronnie says, there is some agency that, but they get so busy that time ain't nothing.
Yeah.
But by coming back to every year to us, at least you and I and everybody else would know that Ronnie's still interested in that property and we're still interested in having him there.
And that they're working on it.
Just to let everybody know, nothing gets the town of Smyrna, but I mean, and I'm not knocking Dale Dot, but I am, and I've been 8 months working, or 10 months working with him, trying to get something done. And, when they want to do something, they'll do it, not till then. I mean, Del Dot has everybody. Simple as that.
We have a motion and a second.
Roll call.
Councilman Rayner.
Aye.
Councilman Evans.
Aye.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
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 Abstain.
Two parking spaces. Okay.
Ronnie, don't say that.
9B, bid award, Smyrna Gateway Medium Project.
Right, this what you have in your packet, the results of the bid opening. Bids were opened on July 24th at 2 o'clock. This is the project, phase one of the project, to improve the appearance of Route 13. It involves median improvements, landscaping, and some other things, beginning approximately at Smyrna-Lipsick Road and extending to the island that's more or less in front of the Mill Street intersection. It is 100% legislative money funneled through DLDOT. This is money that Senator Vaughn, before he passed away, and now Senator Ennis, Representative Ennis, provided to us. And DLDOT is actually the contract administrator. But the agreement with DLDOT requires that the town approve any bids, contracts, or specifications. We recommend that the bid be awarded to All Seasons Landscaping Company. They were the apparent low bidder, in the amount of $112,275.53, which is significantly below the landscape architect's estimate for the cost.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we award the bid for the Smyrna Gateway Median Project to All Season Landscaping Company in the amount of $112,275.50.
There's a second.
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Councilman Evans?
Aye.
Councilman
Ward?
Aye.
Presley? Presley, aye.
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 I think we should all go and celebrate after this council meeting. Do you realize how many times we voted unanimously tonight?
Don't push
not
it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I had
to say
something.
We're not over with.
Just keep it rolling. Don't push it.
9C, policies and procedures of committees. A couple council meetings ago, I had proposed a policy and procedures for committees. We didn't have anything in place, and truthfully, a lot of people serving on the committees, it's the first time that they've ever served on committees for the town. They didn't know what was expected of them. A couple of them got into little problems that could have been avoided if we had had a written policy and procedure that we could have given them. So I went to a class, and this is one of the things that came out of the class, written policy and procedure for committees, and I'm hoping that council will agree to use it as a guideline.
Are you going to hold me to it?
It's a guideline.
Okay.
You got it a couple meetings ago.
Madam Mayor, I didn't receive one of those.
Each council person should have received it by email.
Right.
It should have been on your email. I emailed it to everyone, and it was in your council. You all complained about not getting things far enough in advance, so I made sure you had it about a month and a half ago.
I forgot to print it out. I apologize.
Yeah, me too.
Did not print it out.
Do you?
I need a motion to use it as a guideline.
I will make a motion that we accept this with some clarifications.
Is there a second?
It sounds like, Madam Mayor, that a lot of folks haven't had a chance to review it. So
no.
would you be opposed to be removing my motion and then perhaps tabling it?
Sure, why not?
I mean, a lot of folks don't.
It's been a month and a half to 2 months. Come on, guys.
I have had it. It don't matter to me.
Councilman Mullen, you sent me an email telling me that you were very impressed.
Yeah, and I have reviewed it. I just didn't print it out. And I don't have, I mean, with the, I don't have a problem with the basic concept.
It's up to council. Up to council.
Madam Mayor, I'll amend my motion for the purposes of clarity to table this until everybody's had a chance to review it and bring it up at the next meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We'll also make sure that another copy is generated for each of you, a hard copy, so that you get it in advance of the next meeting, at least in your next meeting packet.
Madam Mayor, if I could, if somebody can make sure that I get a copy just so I can take a look at it, too, in case I have any concerns.
I hate to tell you, Mr. J. Work, but you got one.
I got one?
Yeah.
Don't feel bad.
Okay, we got a motion and we got a second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
Ball.
Abstain.
Aye.
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 Motion passes. It's tabled to the next meeting. Okay, the next one is basic meeting procedures. Council has not had any basic meeting procedures or guidelines to go by. When I asked about this when I was first elected, I was told that Robert's Rules of Order and parliamentary procedures, it was felt that they were a little too stringent for our council meetings. So again, from the class that I took, I came up with they had a basic meeting procedures. So I printed it out. Everyone has received a copy in their packet about 2 months ago, and it should have been emailed to you.
I do remember that one.
And I think this is a good guidelines, especially for new people coming on council. It's very basic. It just gives us a form to follow and try to have better meetings.
Terry, did you get a copy of that one?
That one I did get a copy, and I tried to find it tonight to bring to the meeting, and I could not locate it. I looked at it, and I said there was something about it. Do you have a copy, Mayor?
Yes.
There was something about it that I did have a little concern.
Dean, did you print this one out?
No, I did not print that out, but I did spend some time with it. And, I mean, in general, it follows common parliamentary procedures. There are a couple things that I have a little bit of a heartburn about, but they're not anything major enough to object to it.
Well, Madam Mayor, I hate to be the bad bear. I think we ought to table this to our September meeting, too.
Is there a second?
I'm presuming you didn't print it out.
No, I did. She's got my copy.
Okay. Am I breaking for you to say this? But
yeah.
I was going to print it out for everybody tonight, but with doing this emergency operation plan, I'm out of ink and paper. Unless the town can front me some ink and paper, I'll be glad to print it out for everybody.
I think the lady at the end of the
DS there can handle that.
So Bill's going to print everything for you.
Copies, if you'll email them to me, please.
And one good thing, I mean, both of these kind of dovetail together. So if we pass them both at once, it'll be.
I think in the 2009 budget, I'm going to ask for a budget of some ink and paper.
Thank you,
Madam Mayor. If I could just address this briefly. First of all, I think I don't really have basic meeting procedure, but I think it needs to be understood that these are not going to be adopted as binding
guideline.
This is kind of a general guideline, and one example I'll give. If you get too literal with it, there's a bullet in here about the fifth bullet down under rules, and says, in order to discuss the subject, the assembly needs to vote on a member other than the chair has to make a motion or proposal. And as you know, under our charter, the mayor can surrender the gavel and make a motion. That's just an example. I just want to make sure.
I think, doesn't it say further there that you can surrender the gavel? I thought that was in there.
say. I maybe haven't read down far enough, but that I'm just using that as an example, the sort of thing. I want to make sure we don't bind ourselves into too tightly.
Did I ever get a second?
Now we need a second to Mr. Presley.
Second.
Roll call. Councilman Presley.
Presley, aye.
Aye.
Councilman
aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Tabled to the next meeting. 9E, resolution proposing annexation to set legislative fact-finding hearing at 5838 DuPont Highway, SSC, LLC.
Madam Mayor, this is the property otherwise known as Bob's Market. It's the approximately 12 and a half acres of land on the northeast side of DuPont Highway. New owners of that property have asked to be annexed into town to have the property zoned highway commercial. According to our procedures, the appropriate step is to, unless for some reason council chooses not to consider this request, to schedule a legislative fact-finding for October 20th. 2008 at 7:15 p.m.
We're not allowed to ask who SSC is or what's going to go there, right?
It's highway commercial. The lady's name is Charmin Curro, C-U-R-R-O. And her initials are SSC.
Okay, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we set a legislative fact-finding hearing for October 20th, 2008 at 17:15 hours for 5838 DuPont Highway.
Is there a second? Motion fails without a second.
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 Mm-hmm. Discussion?
This property is identified as being within the town's certified growth zone. It is part of the area that has been planned for municipal utilities north of Duck Creek. Its proposed use is consistent with the comprehensive plan.
What was the zoning on it?
It would be zoned highway commercial in town. It's probably some business, BG or something in Newcastle County. I don't know what.
And it is currently a utility customer, correct? On that phase, on that
electric,
phase one.
They're electric utility customer, right? They're electric utility customer.
Dave, the only concern I have, and not a concern, could staff, when they do this, could they actually give us some? I know where it is, but if you know. Could they just put on here Bob's Market or on the drawing?
Well, it says subject property.
Mm-hmm. Better map would be.
Better map.
You know what I mean? Just something.
We don't have any capabilities for making a better map.
But, I mean, something to just to kind of let people know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I know exactly what it was, but I know I heard some ask me about it.
Okay.
Market.
That's it?
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Aye.
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 Aye. No.
Presley, aye.
Motion passes. 9F, grant to Smyrna Clayton Ministerium.
Madam Mayor, you have a short memo from me in your packet. And I'm going to defer most of this to Mr. Thornton, who I understand has had some discussions with Gary Stuhler, and I'm not sure which one of them ultimately came up with the idea. But the concern is that you have raised and others have raised is that there are people in our community who, for a variety of reasons, have difficult times, and that difficult times may be paying their utility bill, but it might also be, you know, getting their car fixed so they can go to work so they can afford to pay their utility bill, or getting food or whatever. And the recommendation, the request from Councilman Thornton and Mr. Stuhler was that the town consider using part of its unspecified grant funds that are in the current budget to assist the ministerium, the Smyrna Ministerium, in the work that they do for residents of our area. I did have an opportunity today to talk to Reverend John Riley, who is here and is the, I guess,
treasurer.
Okay, I wasn't sure what your official title of the ministerium. So if you have questions or would like him to come forward, and Mr. Thorne, I'm really going to turn this over to you.
Okay. As the council folks know, I brought this up before, back in the spring, and I've also had some recent discussions with Gary Stuhler. Actually, he brought it up to me about ways of helping people in tough times, tough economic times, with such things as their electric bill, housing costs, and other costs that seem to escalate. And the Smyrna Ministerium is a tax free or tax deferred or
tax exempt.
Tax exempt. That's the word I'm looking for. Organization that has policies and procedures in place to help these folks. What they don't have is a lot of money, and they rely, as I understand it, on donations from the various churches to help these folks. I would move that we take some of our unspecified grant money. I think we budgeted $60,000 for this year, make a grant to the ministerium for this year, so that they are prepared in the fall to help these people who are in need. That's my motion.
Second.
Did you want Reverend Riley to kind of give you a little bit of additional?
Would you mind, Reverend Riley?
I'd like to ask some questions.
Yes, please.
If I could, I was going to ask the Reverend to explain that. If you could tell, I mean, obviously I think people in the council know, I don't know if the public knows, but I'd like to make a little bit of a record in the minutes as to who your organization is, how long you've been around, what your purposes are, who's the governing body. And I would have a question for the council with the motion. I don't know if you reach outside the town limits of Smyrna or not, and if you do, does the town council want to limit the grant money only to residents of the town of Smyrna?
Madam Mayor, members of council, and esteemed fellow citizens of Smyrna and the greater Smyrna area, I'm the Reverend Dr. John Riley. I'm the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Smyrna, and I have been privileged to be the treasurer of the Smyrna-Clayton Ministerium for the last 6 years. And I have seen the work of the ministerium grow and increase in its outreach to people in our community who may be your friends, your neighbors, the person that you pass on the street who may be in financial crisis, living on the margins of our economy, which is a little shaky at the present time, and who have a deep need. And they can't meet that need any other way because they may not be eligible for aid from the state or the federal government on a regular basis. About 45 years ago, the Smyrna-Clayton Ministerium was founded during the Civil Rights era to promote better understanding between the African American and white churches in the community. And out of that effort at achieving a better understanding, they identified some needs in the community, and among those, they discovered that there were actually people in the community that were going hungry. And so they set up first a food pantry through the Asbury United Methodist Church, and that expanded to all of the churches in the ministerium. There are about 30 to 33 local area churches that participate in the ministerium. We have monthly meetings. We are an incorporated religious organization in the state of Delaware, and we pay our annual dues to the Secretary of State, like many religious corporations and other corporations do. We also are a 501c3 organization, tax-exempt with the federal government. So all of the contributions to the ministerium are deductible. We have a client base, as we've discovered. We thought we were operating with about 1,000 people in the community that were economically marginal, and were struggling from time to time. And we discovered that when the State Service Center came and actually did a study of this area, that we had about 3,000 people in the Smyrna area. We do serve our area of responsibility, as you may think of it. We do serve Smyrna, Clayton, Cheswold, Townsend, Kenton, and the contiguous areas of Newcastle and Kent County. So it does stretch beyond the boundaries of the town of Smyrna. And generally speaking, it's anybody in the Smyrna School District. So I hope that answers some of your questions.
If I could ask one more question. I don't expect you to identify the people by name, but could you tell us who the governing body is and who makes the decisions on awarding money assistance?
Okay. The governing body, as you might think of it, are the churches that participate, and it's open to all of the pastors of the community to come to our meetings, which are held generally about 10 months of the year. We don't usually meet in July and August, although we will be having a retreat this month. The actual decisions about who receives aid are made by me because we don't have a large staff. We do have a screening process. We ask a number of questions of clients that apply for aid. We work in tandem with the State Service Center and also with, often quite frequently, with the St. Vincent de Paul Society at St. Polycarp's Roman Catholic Church. We are non-sectarian. You don't have to be a member of any church in the Smyrna area to qualify for aid. We help everyone, people of faith and people of no faith. So we do try to reach out to everyone. We have a system of screening people that asks a number of questions to try to verify that the need is authentic. And we are working, especially with the opening of the Commodore State Service Center, working even more closely with them than we did in the past with the Apequinamic State Service Center and the Williams State Service Center to verify that the needs are really there. Because we do have people from time to time that do try to take advantage of us, and we're doing a pretty good job of filtering those people out. Also, because we have limited funds, we can only make an award to somebody about once a year. Often the needs that we see are seasonal in nature because they are tied to utility bills. So, for example, in May of this year, we saw a sharp drop-off in the number of applications, people calling to get help. And that was because we had taken care of most of the heating bills for the winter. And a lot of people went through a crisis last winter. Catholic Charities could not respond as rapidly as they would like. They get a lot of money from the federal government. And so people turned to us, and we were the stopgap in a lot of cases to provide help for people in our community that just couldn't keep warm. We're also concerned for people in the summertime that can't keep cool because we have many of our older citizens, many citizens that are invalids, disabled, and heat and humidity in the summertime can be just devastating to them on the basis of their health, and they don't have the resources to pay high electric bills. So from about the end of May to the middle of June, we saw a drop-off, and then the electric bills began to hit, and the disconnect notices began to hit, and we began to receive many, many more calls per week. We average about 150 to 200 clients a year who receive financial aid, and about the same number of people who go to the food pantry. And sometimes there is an overlap. We send people to both places. And we try to provide some advice and assistance from time to time to people that seem to have chronic financial problems.
Have the other communities helped you?
No other community. No, as far as town governments, no. Most of our aid has come from private citizens in the community, from the churches in the community, from organizations like the Smyrna Rotary Club has been very generous with us. The Clayton Lions Club has been very generous with us. The Smyrna Bridge Club, I'm very faithful in sending a contribution every year. A number of small organizations, and it never ceases to amaze me. It's like the proverbial widow's cruise in the Bible. Just about the time I'm running out of money and I think I'm going to have to not help people for the next week or two, another check will come in, and we can go forward with our work in helping the people that need the need that have the great deepest need in our community.
I would like to tell a little bit about their organization too that I learned when the new state health and human center, the new one over at Commodore Commons on the highway. How that all came about was through the ministerium group. They actually went to Senator Cook. And they asked for a trailer, a little trailer to work out of. And it grew from that little trailer to the Commodore Commons complex that is over there now. And that all came about because of the ministerium group. I did speak to, when I got this letter, in our packet. I did call the Health and Human Services. I realize that, you know, you're one person. I can imagine the amount of phone calls that you would get. They explained to me that most of the programs that they have attachments with them, that they can only help people in a certain bracket. If there's somebody that has had a tragedy in their family or somebody that has had an unusual circumstances, they may not be eligible for any help because of the stipulations that are put into the funds that they receive. If the town were to give the $10,000 to the Health and Human Services over there, this would be a program where they would not have to go by those guidelines. This would be open to people that fall into the other categories that normally can't get any help. They said that they work very closely with you. What they had suggested was, and I found out about this also by Millie, who's in the audience today. She came to me with a health problem, and I felt very bad because I couldn't help her. My hands were tied. She was one of the ones that was just in that group. So she was the one that told me about the health, you know, what they do. And they have a very stringent process that they put the people through. They really do research them. They have to bring in pay stubs. They have to bring in bills and show what they've used their pay for. They have to show where they spend the money. And they said they would be very happy to work with you. They have three crisis workers over there. And they would be very happy, like, if you would want to take the initial phone calls and then refer them for the screening, but they'll be very happy to work with you.
I got to ask another question. I got another question, Barry. I see this was reviewed by the Finance Committee.
This particular issue came up within basically last Thursday, I think, is when I dated the memo. My reference to the Finance Committee is that the Finance Committee reviewed the town's budget and determined that we had adequate resources to carry out the budget expenditures through the rest of the year. So, and no misunderstanding here, this issue did not come to the Finance Committee. The issue was, you know, do we still have money in the budget for grants? Yes,
because I
do.
I mean, I do. I know it's a good organization, but there's a lot of other organizations that came to us. I know we've got to decide where we got to go, but I don't. I think this needs to come to the Finance so we all can discuss this thing.
All of the other grants come before the Finance Committee before they go any further, or they come up here. And I do think that that is fair. I also think that, as Pastor Riley said, no other communities have given anything that we, I did this before for something else. I don't think it worked, but I tried anyway. Contact the other communities and let them know that this is something that we would like to do and that we would like them to support it also, because it goes all the way up to Townsend and down to Cheswold. And not that there aren't needy people there too, but why should the Smyrna-Clayton Ministerium be the only ones putting in this kind of money? We should ask them to contribute also.
The other thing I wanted to say, Valerie, was with the Health and Human Services, they could set this up that the money would only go to citizens of the town of Smyrna.
No, I don't have a problem with it going to the ministerium. I just think that first it should go to Finance and we should review it there, as we do every other grant, but that we also contact the other communities and ask them to participate.
Like you say, the time now, it ain't just everybody's having a hard time right now. You know, even the ones that are paying the bills, everybody's having a hard time. Every once in a while, you got to throw them people a bone, too. Maybe you ought to take the $10,000 that you want to give and give back to some of the citizens that are trying to pay the bills. Let me
respond to that.
It's not a bad thing.
That one particular point. In various conversations, the question of, it, you know, can we make some kind of, you know, give back, if you will, reduction credit to benefit all of our residents. And the difficulty you run into is that, you know, you got 4,000 plus utility customers. If you don't give them $50, you might as well not give them anything, because, you know, $10 is really not going to make a whole lot of difference. And
frankly, I don't want $10 back from the town. You know, I can afford it. And I would rather personally to have the town provide a mechanism to go to some to a group like the ministerium who's, I mean, this is their business, and I know personally that because I'm good friends with a couple of the folks who are involved in the ministerium, that you know they take this mission very, very seriously, and they've got some pretty strict guidelines and processes. And I would much rather, as a taxpayer of the town of Smyrna, speaking personally, to be able to help somebody who, you know, their car broke down and they can't go to work and they're not going to pay my electric bill until they get back to work, or they're, you know, this particular month somebody was ill and they couldn't work and they're an hourly employee. I think that what I've heard from you all, and if I've heard incorrectly, you know, please tell me differently, but what I've heard from you all in a variety of situations, and Mr. Rayner one day last week, I think at the finance or personnel or one of the meetings, utility, you know, very specifically said, you know, we got to find some ways to give back to people who are hurting. And that's why I thought this idea that Mr. Thornton had and that Gary put forward was a really good one. And
it's not a bad idea, Dave, because I'm with the Rotary Club and we donate to them. I'm just saying that I think it should come to a committee, the finance committee, before I vote on something like this. I think everything else has went through the committee. Because there's people going to ask to debate this.
If you got the money, the $10,000, is the way that it could be applied to Smyrna Electric customers only? And I mean, it's our tax money. And that would be the thing. You'd have $10,000 to help some of these $4,000 customers that can't.
I think that would be feasible if you wanted it to just be targeted for electric for the town of Smyrna. That would certainly be feasible. I don't think that.
Pastor, go ask the other committees or other townships like Clayton and Kenton to see if they would contribute. And we did this, I think, with the fireworks or something.
But I think we should ask. I should say that we would like to do this.
We did something last year that had never been done before, and quite frankly, I'm kind of proud of it. But that this body did it, and that was to pass an impact fee for the schools. And we addressed that had never been done before, and a lot of people didn't think it could be done. And this is another one of those things that no one thinks it can be done because nobody thought about doing it.
And like I say, it's not a bad idea. Don't get me wrong, but I've got to look as a council member that I've got all these other citizens that have came to me and asked me for grants. Meaning is they might not do as big as impact as you do, but they still have asked me. So when I say I'm giving you $10,000, I've got to know why, and I got to make sure that I'm feeling good to answer by giving you $10,000. So when that other person comes and tells me, I can say, you know, I gave it $10,000 because they can touch more people than yours can. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Please remember, I am not the originator of this request, and the ministerium is not asking for these funds. We just came to be a resource tonight to tell you about the ministerium and its work. So we appreciate your interest, regardless of how you make the decision tonight. And we know that each one of you individually has expressed your support for the ministerium, and we do appreciate that, too.
I would also like to say that I've been, through the police department, we've been utilizing your ministerium for 25 years that I'm aware of. And I think the people in this town need to understand the timeliness of your assistance. That ministerium is available to the people in Smyrna 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No other resources. We've had people come through our department that were just at their wits' end, just had no options at all. And time and again, the ministerium came through. I'm a big supporter of the Boys and Girls Club here in the town of Smyrna. And I really think that when it comes to just good works, Christian good works, you can't. Nobody meets what the ministerium has done and has done for many, many years. And I know I've always appreciated your assistance, Pastor.
Thank you. That might be something that needs to come to the finance committee and let the rest of the members on council know so we can be part of your voice. You know, some of us don't know what Chief knows.
We just passed the 10,000 mark for our population count. We're a little over 10,000 now. If you take that into consideration, $1 per person would fund this fund.
And maybe we should double it.
Barry, yes. Would you withdraw it and send it to finance?
I would just like to make, while the motion is still on the table, I would just like to make a comment on Mr. Rayner's comment. I don't think it should be restricted just to utility bills, although I do think it should be restricted to residents of Smyrna only.
And that's why I say it needs to go to a committee discuss, not in open public.
A lot of people will use it to repair a car to get to work or to buy food that they can actually go to work. So I don't think it should be just restricted to electric or utilities, but I do think it should be restricted to residents. One other comment as far as referring it to the Finance Committee. Keep in mind that in 2008 budget process, the grant for 2007 was a $50,000 line item. In 2008, we upped that line item to $60,000. So there is $10,000 additional, if you want to call it that, in the grant line. We also have some unmarked grant money that hasn't really been allocated to anything. I'm not quite sure the total amount of that, but there is some money in that. So if this council wanted to tonight, you could certainly do this and not have any I don't want to say repercussions, but any adverse effect as far as the budget goes. Budget is in extremely good shape.
It sounds like to me that a member on council would prefer to go through the Finance Committee, and I have no objection to doing that. I appreciate you coming and explaining your position, and in deference to the good father, he did not come to us. We came to him as a result of my conversations with Gary about what we can prepare to do this fall and this winter for people who are in need. So I will withdraw the motion make another motion that we...
On my second. Then.
Okay. That we send it to the Finance Committee for their recommendation, but with the caveat that we need to do this and make a decision rather quickly, because the heating season will be upon us, and we want to be prepared to help those folks in need.
I'll second that motion. When is the next Finance Committee meeting? Is it before the next council meeting?
No.
He would not meet until
the second meeting in September.
Unless you wanted to call a special meeting of Finance.
That's fine.
Call it. Okay. Well, when's the first council meeting?
It's the second. It's a Tuesday because of the holiday. You could call a meeting.
It's a Tuesday because of the holiday. Today is the 18th.
Finance would normally meet the 9th.
The 9th, yeah.
26th.
What? Which means you wouldn't actually have council consideration until the 15th.
Okay, I will call a special meeting of Finance for the 26th at 5:00. So, I'll mark your calendars, and I'll get it out the door. I'll get it out the door first thing in the morning.
Is this the only item on the agenda?
It will be the only item on the agenda. It should be a quick meeting.
Madam Mayor, one thing, if I could, it was a little confusing me in the discussion tonight, and I hope the Finance Committee will be able to make a recommendation, because if I understood the mayor, you were saying that the grant should be made to the Social Services Agency that would work in conjunction, and I think the other council members are discussing a grant directly to this organization.
The Ministerium.
Correct. If I understood you, Madam Mayor, maybe I misunderstood you. You were suggesting...
No, you understood. That was my recommendation.
So I just think that the committee needs to deal with that and make a
recommendation.
If they
work along with each other, I mean, the money could go to them, and then the Health and Human Services said that they would help them with the screening because they don't have the ability to do that.
Okay.
Could I just put in one more plug for two area businesses that do support the ministerium very faithfully? And Chief Ballman reminded me of that because they have the vouchers over at the police station for the 24-hour type of response, and that is that we provide coupons for up to 10 gallons worth of gas at Burden Service Station here in Smyrna, and coupons also for free meals at the Smyrna Diner when somebody hasn't eaten for a couple of days. And both of those businesses have been great at helping the ministerium help people in need in our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Any other council business? A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So we didn't vote on.
We didn't vote on the last motion.
Yeah. The last motion to send it.
Oh, wasn't it withdrawn? I mean, it was.
No.
Yeah, another motion. Yeah.
A motion to send it to finance.
Oh, okay.
Call the roll, please.
I'll just start over, Councilman.
I'll withdraw my motion to adjourn.
Aye.
Wait, Councilman Presley.
Presley, aye.
Mayor Stumbaugh. Councilman Gordon.
Aye.
Councilman Mullen.
Aye.
Now the motion to adjourn.
Now I'll make the motion to adjourn. And I will second it.
Aye.
Thank you.
Good meeting.